Planning Commission. Do we have any adjustments to the regular session agenda tonight? Hearing none. We have an opportunity at this time for business from the audience not related to our public hearing. I have a request that says business from the audience. Is this business not related to the public hearing? Dan, I can't read your last name.
It's Raren.
Okay. Is this request related to the public hearing or not related to the public hearing? It's related to the public hearing? Okay, I'll hold this for the public hearing then. Okay? That's the only request we have. So at this time, we will be moving into a quasi-judicial public hearing. This is in relation to a discretionary use permit and site plan review for Springfield First Christian Church. Mark McCaffrey is going to be presenting for staff tonight. I'll turn it over to city legal counsel to review rules related to quasi-judicial public hearing.
Thank you, Chair. This hearing tonight is characterized as a quasi-judicial hearing. Quasi-judicial means that certain due process procedural rights are associated with this decision-making process. These rights include the rights to notice, to present evidence, to have a written decision based upon standards, and to an impartial decision-maker. The primary purpose of the hearing is to establish a record upon which a decision can be made. The evidentiary rules associated with this hearing are less restrictive than used in circuit courts, and all relevant testimony, including hearsay, can be considered. Please note the following important items. You must raise procedural and substantive issues at this hearing, or you will be prohibited from raising those issues subsequently on appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals. A person raising an issue must support that issue with statements or evidence that is sufficiently specific that the Planning Commission has an opportunity to respond to the concern of the issue. If you are the applicant, you must raise concerns regarding any proposed conditions of approval to preserve your right to appeal and or seek damages in circuit court. Failure to raise constitutional or other issues related to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the Planning Commission to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court. In a quasi-judicial decision-making process, the burden is on the applicant to show by preponderance of the evidence that all of the applicable approval criteria have been met. The criteria for tonight's decisions are posted on the wall behind the Planning Commission. They are outlined in the staff report, which is included in tonight's packet, and they will be summarized by the staff in their presentation. The record in this matter consists of the application and any supporting information, staff reports and supporting documents, and any testimony and document or evidence that is admitted during this hearing. If you would like an item entered into the record, present that item to the planning secretary, orally or in writing. If there is any question in your mind whether any material is in the record, make a point of asking that it be accepted into the record. By statute, you have the right to request that the record be held open for an additional 7 days. You do not have to give a reason for the request, but you must make it before the hearing is closed. If new evidence is introduced during that time, then the record may be held open for an additional period to allow other parties an opportunity to respond to the new evidence. In this type of hearing, the applicant always gets the last word. You also have the right to request a continuance of the hearing. A continuance is discretionary with the Planning Commission, and the party requesting it must show that prejudice to his or her rights will not be cured merely by holding the record open. This hearing is recorded on tape, so I ask those that wish to testify to follow the following procedures. First, please testify from the podium on my left, not from the citizen seats in the audience. Second, begin your testimony by stating your name and address for the record. This enables the Planning Commission secretary and the Planning Commission to identify the testimony offered by speaker name and will assist in creating a transcript of this hearing if that is necessary. If you want a copy of the written decision, please provide your name and address to the Planning Secretary. The Planning Commission will issue a written decision after the record is closed. The planning appeal rights. Any person who participated in the hearing may appeal the Planning Commission's decision to the City Council. Please consult an attorney regarding the deadline for the appeal and the form of appeal. Oregon land use law requires that the Planning Commission disclose any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest related to this matter and allow any person to challenge the Planning Commission for bias. A conflict of interest involves a situation where the decision maker, his or her family or business would benefit or suffer by his or her decision. And an ex parte contact is a communication with the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside the public venue. Commissioner, at this time it is appropriate to open the hearing.
Okay. I will open the public hearing. Commissioners, at this time, we'll need to state declaration of potential conflicts of interest and disclosure of any ex parte contact. Any disclosures?
None.
I have none myself either. Okay, with that, I'll turn it over to staff, Mark McCaffrey, to review the information.
Thank you, Chair, Commissioners. Mark McCaffrey with Development and Public Works. So through the chair to the commission, the proposal before us is a 1,200 square foot addition to an existing one-story church at the southeast corner of Kelly Boulevard and West Centennial Boulevard. This property is within city limits. West Centennial Boulevard is actually functionally classified as a minor arterial, and Kelly Boulevard is considered a local road at this point. The site itself is about 11,000 square feet. Like I said, we've got an existing church on there that's about 1,200 square feet itself. And there's also an adjacent outbuilding on the site, and there's a very small gravel area that at this point wouldn't adequately meet our off-street parking standards. So the site's a little unimproved as is, has been functioning as a church. Like I said, both roads are maintained by the city and they have curb street sidewalks adjacent to the subject site's property. Ultimately, the staff evaluated this proposal through site plan review criteria, specific development standards pertaining to churches, and the church use itself in a low-density residential area, which this property is situated in. In fact, it's surrounded by all low-density residential properties, requires the application of discretionary use, which we have on the board behind you. And it also triggered compliance factors with expansion of non-conforming uses, as we have in the code. A little bit about the staff report structure that you have before you. So we have two cases, and so potentially two actions. The site plan review has not only the site plan criteria, as the applicant submittal has provided, and has staff has provided input based on that criteria. As I mentioned, the specific development standards for churches, namely landscaping, buffering, and things of that nature. It also has non-conforming use expansion factors in there that needed to be evaluated in accordance with the applicant's proposal. There's also an incorporation of the three written comments that we received during the public notice period, which are identified in the site plan report as well. Staff also did respond to that, and I will mention a little bit about that in a moment. And also in the site plan review, we see the 11 conditions of approval that staff recommends the Planning Commission consider. And this case is identified as TYP 217-00013. The other application is the discretionary use, which is case number TYP 317-00006. And this reviews not only the discretionary use criteria, but does a lot of cross-referencing when necessary to pertinent information that was sort of closed in the site plan report. So as you go through the criteria, you'll see a lot of references to the application I just discussed, as staff felt that adequately met the discretionary use criteria. Both applications required notice, and notice was sent to adjacent property owners in accordance with type 3 notice procedural standards on time. And that's when we did receive the three written comments during that time period. A public notice was posted on the site well before the 20-day requirement in order to adequately notify the public. Speaking of the public, like I said, we had three comments. In my staff report, I sort of identified four different areas of concern. And under each of those areas, I elaborated a little bit as to how staff proposed to address it as it pertained to the site plan criteria and discretionary use criteria. And those topics were inadequate parking, increased traffic, residential character of the neighborhood, and lighting. And under each of those specific areas of concern, I provided in my staff report how the condition or the concern was either addressed just by the applicant's submittal or if additional conditioning was proposed as part of the recommended decision. 11 conditions, as I was speaking about, and I summarized them that a lot of them have to do with the parking lot design and the requirements pertaining to bringing people to this site and having them park off street. So you'll see in the conditions typical requirements that civil engineering needs for stormwater quality facilities, landscaping requirements, which are even a little bit more buffered in this circumstance because it's a church use that does have specific development standards. You also see the requirement for some street improvements for the two ingress egress areas that the applicant is proposing for the site to be accessed. And then there also is a call for a shared parking agreement in order to adequately provide enough parking to service the site. So all told, staff has evaluated the applicant's submittal, and through the commission's deliberation and subsequent public testimony, would recommend approval subject to the conditions herein and the staff report. And we're here for any additional questions if needed.
Questions? Okay. Hearing none. We'll move on to testimony from the applicant. Please state your name and address.
Thank you. My name is Bill Randall. I'm from Arbor South Architecture, 380 Lincoln Street, Eugene, Oregon, and I represent the applicant. Since our application and the supporting text and drawings are already in the record, I'm not going to reiterate those. We are in agreement with the staff report and the conditions that are placed on approval. I did want to hit just a few highlights, however, for you, and just note that we are not increasing the existing height of the existing building. We're continuing that on at the same height, which is about 20 feet in height. In a residential zone, residential uses would be allowed 30 feet of height, and so we're well under that. The total square footage will end up about 2,400 square feet, which is about the same size as a relatively average house. We're also not increasing the seating capacity in the sanctuary. Most of what this addition is to add a pastor's office and some ancillary rooms, a small kitchen and a fellowship hall, and some accessible lavatories for use by the church members. There is also an existing 6-foot fence, solid fence along the east property line next to the most adjacent residential use, with mature dense vegetation there that will remain and also be enhanced with the new landscaping at the parking lots. We will be providing full landscaping at the parking lots, obviously. And then just the previous use, I think this has always been some type of use like this and not a house. And the previous use most recently was the Salvation Army Service Center, and it had daily hours and operation where a church, this church, has just weekend uses. So the actual use of the facility has decreased in intensity. So I just wanted to point that out. That's really about all I wanted to say for you, and I'm available for questions if you have any.
Okay. Any questions?
I noted on the on the application that there was talk of a nursery there. Would that be for use only during services?
Yes.
Or is there any chance that it's being taken?
No, just a church nursery during church services.
Questions?
Yes. Looking at the staff report, there was one small concern that I had regarding correspondence with a neighbor in regard to intrusive lighting that they thought was excessive. And I know that's one of the conditions that you need to confront. Is that something that you feel you can be flexible as far as addressing that particular issue?
Yes, all of the lighting on the church building and parking lot will be the night sky cutoff type lighting.
So the sign that evidently was at issue, is that something that's going to be rectified?
The sign, I don't believe, is part of this application. It was permitted separately at a previous time.
It was. The sign was permitted and does meet city code
was the issue.
Yeah.
Based on
staff report. I don't believe the sign is an issue in this review.
Okay. Others? Okay. All right. At this time, we have testimony in support of the application. We have testimony opposed and testimony neutral. I do have a couple of requests, and the first of which is from Dan Rerick.
Got it.
How's that? And if you would step up to the microphone, please, and state your name and address for the public record. And
I'm Dan Rerick, and I live at 333 West Centennial, right next door to the proposal.
Okay.
One make correction. First thing we saw when we saw the printout on this deal is that it was claimed to be a Salvation Army place before. Well, we've been next door since 1979, and we can tell you it was never a Salvation Army building. So that is some kind of a urban myth. I don't know where that got started. So the reason I mention that is because the use is not decreased currently from then, and this is not concern. It's just not fact that it's decreased from the day-to-day use. It's just not fact. We're not opposed to very many things. We also understood that the proposal at first was the ridgeline would be continued. We understood that it was continued the same elevation. We're in the record as requesting that it be lowered. The addition, we have a view of Kelly Butte. We'd like to maintain that view. And if you box us in too much, and we're out on our deck, all we look at is a big old giant building. It seems out of scale. We can quote numbers like you're acceptable up to 30 feet in the residential zone. Yeah, fine. But find one in our neighborhood that has a 30-foot elevation. There aren't any. They're all very humble-sized homes. The only other thing, we're unconcerned about some of the things that I read in the record about the traffic. That's, people will fend for themselves. Here we are right next door, and we're unconcerned about the traffic. And we're also, the light from that sign is not, we have a lot of trees, so it's not a problem. So I wouldn't be concerned about that, so forget the concerns there. But the way the thing is drawn up, it's pretty wise for the parking, and it shows use of the alley for exit. I'd like to suggest that there'd be a sign that says, right turn only when exiting. And because if people think they can just go barreling down the alley and increase traffic, it's kind of a downer to think. Now, I don't think that there's going to be an increase. It's kind of bizarre to think about a traffic lighthouse. Silly. What a bizarre concern. I don't think we're looking at much extra traffic, but an extra car or two coming down the alley, that might be kind of a downer. So small little thing, and I don't think I have much other concerns.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And at this time, Nancy Rerick. Please state your name and address for the public record.
I am Nancy Rerick at 333 West Centennial Boulevard. What else did you want?
That's it.
Okay. I noticed that you have included some of my drawings with your report, but not all of the ones that I sent in. And Dan probably mentioned some of this, and I think I have too much issues with hearing, so I might be repeating something he's already talked about. But one of the things that he didn't, I think, we're concerned about one of the small things. Maybe other people have to deal with this, but the system that the church uses to heat the building roars against our house, and to increase the size, we expect it's going to be more than one roar. I'd like it if their roaring machine could be on the other side of the building where there's no people listening, it's just the parking lot. The other thing that I think Dan mentioned, and it shows up on a couple of my drawings that you included, were the height of the addition. I don't have a problem with the length. I think we're just going to have to adjust to that. But since I get it that the sanctuary is tall because it's vaulted inside, but I don't understand why the addition has to be as high, because it is not vaulted space and it is not attic space. It is just continuing the roof line. And what that does for us, when we look out our front window, we look at the sunset. Now we'll be looking at the building. We will just be looking at white and a roof. And in our backyard, where we can look at the butte, as Dan mentioned, now we will just see the building and the roof. And my feeling is, if the roof is not that high, we'll still get something. And since the roof doesn't have to be that high for what you're building below, I'm thinking it would be more in keeping with the modest homes in the neighborhood, and it's not going to give you any more church. My husband's a builder. He knows that if you continue the length of the building with a lower roof, it will be easier than connecting on to something that already exists. Let's see if there's something else. Consider a little bit about the parking lot on the alley side. I know Dan mentioned if they have a sign that says when you come out, head west. He said left or right, but I think west and east mean more to people. You can't get your left and right wrong that way. The parking facility is going to be moved over. I think for public buildings, it's supposed to be 20 feet from the public, from the property line, and they're already at 10, and the parking is going to move it to 5. So I understand you've got to be able to park, but if that happens, I would like it if some kind of barriers will be put there, so that if a car loses its uses the gas instead of the brake, it doesn't run into our garage. I would like something there to keep the cars from heading our way.
Yep.
But mostly, one of the things we're really concerned about is the roar of the heater, if that could be moved, and if the roof could be dropped. I have no problem with somebody that wants to share the Lord. That part is the positive.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. Okay, I have summation by staff first, but don't we typically have rebuttal prior to summation, rebuttal by applicant?
Mm-hmm. There's no other public testimony?
No.
Oh. And, yes.
Summation.
Okay. Summation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, summation by staff. You're up.
keep my comments very short. I really appreciate the testimony provided by the neighbors this evening. Some notes based on what you were saying there. I guess I would defer to the applicant for any HVAC system location. Staff won't address the height of the building at this time. And as a result of the review that we've gone through, there already are several parking design modifications that may need to occur in order to gain approval per our conditions. So I'd be wanting to see how the final site plan works. And there's, you know, the potential requirement for a property owner to decide whether or not they want to invoke some sort of sign that, you know, may condition a write out or something like that. But upon review from our transportation planning department, that wasn't issued as any of the input that I included in my staff report.
Okay.
Any questions from you?
Questions?
Small one. The agreement for off-site parking with a third party, is that enforceable in any way, or is that just an agreement?
That's a great question, Commissioner. The way that we've designed it is we want the city, or at least the Development and Public Works Director, will have final approval on the joint parking agreement prior to final site plan approval. So that's sort of the catch, to have something in place and for us to review to ensure that whether it's through in perpetuity this can exist, not just seasonal, it's something that can comfortably accommodate the required parking within a reasonable distance. So it's something that we get to review as the city prior to okaying it and moving forward with approving the final site plan.
And don't we typically in parking require some sort of a bump guard or something for isn't that a code-related issue?
Yes, that's a great point, Chair. In fact, we have what are called wheel stops, and they actually have a very specific height and spacing definition for areas where cars are going to park towards landscaping. I believe the area we were talking about and the testimony was about is actually going to include some additional landscaping where wheel stops, if the site isn't already curbed, would be provided in order to ensure that cars wouldn't be driving over into the landscape.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, rebuttal from the applicant.
Thank you. Did just want to respond to a couple of the comments. I think with the roof line, really our goal was to have the building look like there wasn't an addition placed on it, and to maintain that architectural character. And since we were already 10 feet lower than the allowable height, then I understand that even though the allowable height may be 30 feet, a lot of houses aren't built to that height. I do understand that. However, most two-story houses would be approaching that, if not a little taller than 20 feet. So we really aren't open to the idea of changing the roof lines. I think it starts disturbing the architectural character of what we're trying to do with the church building. Regarding the sign, I'm just going to address these in the order, so they're not really in a cohesive order that I put together, but regarding the sign at the alley saying right turn only, I think my feeling is people tend to exit the way they come in, and they're going to come in to that alley off of Kelly, so I really don't think that's necessary. I don't think people will come in on Kelly and then exit thinking that they're going to go down the alley. So I think I prefer not to do that for a client. Regarding the heating system and the outdoor unit, I do understand where that's on the east side of the building currently, and I think we could work out something where we could maybe move that around to the south and get that out of the way. for them. Regarding the parking setback, the planning director does have discretion to reduce that parking area setback. And as you can tell from the site, it's a very tight site. One of the conditions also reduces or maybe takes out space number 9 that we have there just because of the way it tapers down toward that alley. We're already dealing with a very tight site to get parking in that meets city codes and backup areas and that. So we would want to keep that setback that we're proposing on the east side. And then just also adding to that the wheel stops. Those are pretty typical when we do that. I don't think they showed on this particular site plan, but the construction documents that we have do have wheel stops shown on the parking areas. And then just with the amount of parking, we do still have a 25% open space requirement. And so we're trying to balance the addition in the parking lot and the 25% open space requirement. So it's real difficult for us to wedge all of this in. And so I think we've done our best, and I think we've done a good job. And so we just respectfully ask for approval.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So at this time, we've received the information. Do we have any other questions from staff at this time? Questions? Okay. I would certainly consider a motion to close the public hearing at this time.
Close the public hearing.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Nelson, seconded by Commissioner Puebla. I'm sorry, Commissioner Bose. Got you on the wrong side. To close the public hearing. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. We have the written record is still open, and so I would certainly entertain a motion to close the written record as well at this time.
I move that we close the written record.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Vose, seconded by Commissioner Nelson to close the written record. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, we have before us a couple of items that have come up. I think that I appreciate the applicant. I appreciate also the public testimony from our neighbors, and what I heard our applicants say clearly was that the nature and design of the church, it would be their design intent to be consistent with that, and I understand that, and it does meet the code to make those extensions at that same roof line. But what I also heard was a concern about noise mitigation. And I also heard a concern about some wheel stops. I feel relatively strong. I appreciate the applicant's willingness to address those issues. I feel fairly strongly that we may consider those as conditions to be included with the staff conditions as we or if we choose to move forward. Others?
I had a number of concerns about the application. The first of which is that it is a non-conforming use at present, being that it is closer to the east property line by half. So it has approximately a 10-foot setback, and the use calls for a 20-foot setback. To my thinking, understanding what a setback is for, oftentimes it's for public safety, for access between buildings by like fire departments, etc. To increase the length of the building within what I'd call that encroachment into the setback, I think, I have a feeling is unwise. I understand that it is a very constricted site. Another concern I had that has not been brought up yet is the parking. I live in the general vicinity and travel Kelly fairly often. I drove through there this Sunday in the morning when I believe there was a service going on. And there was also a yard sale right next door. So I can't be said for sure how many vehicles were there, but the street was extremely constricted with parking on both sides of the street, almost up to Centennial. As you're traveling either on Mill Street or coming off of Centennial onto that, there's very, very little clearance for automobiles. If you shy away from parked cars, you don't even have a full lane. So I'm concerned that the parking on street just really is not adequate. And I'm also concerned about the parking agreement as to whether that's actually enforceable in some ways. I mean, you may make an agreement with someone and then just park on the street. I don't know. And so I look at it and I say, it's a very, very small restricted site. I'm not really certain that the site can bear the expanded use of parking and expanded building. So I'm, by myself, I'm against the proposal.
Okay, others?
Commissioners? We're deliberating.
Yes.
One other point. The view shed. I think I believe my view shed is very important. I can look out and see the South Hills from where I live, and I would think that that would be awful to lose that too. Again, within the 10-foot setback, if there was a 20-foot setback to a 20-foot high church, you might have a full view. When there's a 10-foot, and you're going to continue the same ridge line, you lose your view. And I know that there's probably no view rights associated with the properties, but I do feel that that's an impact on the neighbors that I also find that part of the unacceptable part of the application.
Okay.
I'm pretty familiar with the area too, and one of my concerns was with the parking, because I live pretty close to Commissioner, and I've driven past the church during service, and it seems like the streets do get pretty congested, and I was drove past the lot again to look at it to see how I could visualize another 12, possibly 13 parking lots on that lot plus the addition. I have some concerns, I guess, is what I would say.
Okay. Others?
Okay. My only concern is with the correspondence regarding the lighting. Other than that, I don't have any issues that I want to take up beyond that.
I would just point out a couple of things. This application actually provides additional off-street parking. And they are not enlarging the size of the sanctuary. So, you know, by design, I think the applicant is attempting to take some of that load off of Kelly, and as they should. This is non-conforming, and we know it is. This will bring this more in alignment with our existing codes. So, you know, LDR property is property that a church is a conforming use. Is that correct? I mean, you can develop a church on LDR property. And we have churches on LDR property. This property is somewhat constrained. I don't think their attempt, according to the applicant, is not to increase the numbers necessarily, but they are conforming. They're attempting to conform in this restricted space with some off-street parking, and it is very tight, and also provide some other area for providing service to their congregation. So in my mind, this makes sense. It relieves some of the congestion on the street, and also I believe with these additional conditions will deal with some of the noise mitigation issue that we heard a concern about, and concerns about the parking that is there potentially causing some concerns with intrusion on neighbors' property. So I am leaning in favor of this, in favor of this action with these additional conditions. One, mitigating the heat, moving it to the south, and making sure that we have the wheel stops installed.
Others?
Yes.
So it's a pretty big list of conditions. And I guess more of a procedural question, I suppose, is that if we approve the discretionary use today and 10 of the 11 or 12 of the 13 conditions are satisfied, but not that last one, it's staff that signs off on those conditions being satisfied, correct? Okay.
That is correct.
And then if it's 12 of 13, it's like nothing ever happened. So I think that with that in the back of my mind, and with this being a pretty big hurdle of conditions to begin with, I lean towards yes as well, because I still see a lot of work to be done here. I don't think that us saying yes, we're saying yes to the bulk of what we see here, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And like you said, if we have the only one I see as a would be important to me would be that noise mitigation to add. To the already pretty large hurdle that I see here in front of him to really actually accomplish this.
Question related for staff related to the wheel stops. That's code related, right? I mean, that wouldn't necessarily need to be a condition. That's a code related issue, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So in section, I think it's 4.6-1, we have parking lot design improvement standards that are pretty well articulated on what needs to be in place in certain circumstances. And so when cars are 90 degree nosing into a site that has established landscaping, often a wheel stop is required unless there's some sort of curb amenity as well. So one or the other needs to exist.
And on the side of the property that we had testimony from the public on, what is the setback? What would be the setback on that side of the property when the addition is built? It would be 10 feet?
Correct.
It would remain 10 feet.
It would remain 10 feet. Okay. Okay. All right. Others?
Well, I don't have any ideas to add. I would say that I concur with Chair James and Commissioner Dunn in that with all the conditions listed and the fact that this is going to decrease our congestion issues on this street by having the parking agreement and creating more off-street parking, I don't see a large concern myself with the plan. And I also think that the area with the 10-foot offset will still allow for any necessary movement through that area. So I think this works out well. I'm in favor.
Okay. All right. Well, we have an action before us, and we have two actions before us. One is the discretionary use piece, and one is the application for site plan review. Conditionary use would be where those conditions would land, the additional condition related to the Senate litigation, is that correct? Or is it under the site plan review piece? Staff?
It's under site plan review.
Okay, thank you.
Is that a question regarding the noise attenuation?
Yes.
The standard for noise attenuation under site plan review is that it must, the noise must have been found to exceed acceptable noise levels prescribed in OARs or the Federal Highway Administration noise abatement criteria. I don't think there's any information in the record that that standard has been exceeded. So I would recommend that you make that condition part of the discretionary use approval as part of the site suitability criteria.
So site suitability would be, so discretionary use. So, and I would certainly, in this case, move to approve TYP 317-00006, Arbor South's application for discretionary use approval at 395 West Centennial Boulevard, map 17-03-27-44, tax lot 2000, and 2001, with the conditions of approval contained in the staff report and findings, and the addition of movement of the heating unit as suggested by the applicant to the south to mitigate noise, understanding that the wheel stops are covered under code.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Commissioner James, seconded by Commissioner Sherwood to approve as previously stated. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Raise your hands, please, in favor. Okay. Opposed?
No.
Okay. So we have five in favor, one against. Motion carries. Second action is the site plan review action. I would certainly entertain a motion for site plan review.
Move to approve TYP 217-00013, Arbor South's application for site plan review at 395 West Centennial Boulevard, map 17032744, tax lot 2000 and 2100. With the conditions of approval contained in the staff report and findings, because the application meets the applicable criteria of approval.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. Moved by Commissioner Sherwood, seconded by Commissioner Dunn. Motion as stated. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Okay. Opposed? Okay, motion carries, five in favor, one against. Okay? All right, on to other business, report of council action. Did anyone attend the council meeting last night? I did not have an opportunity to meet last night. I had a grandson's 8th birthday to attend, so family first. So, but I did read the Register Guard today, and I know that the council did discuss moving forward to a November election, the jail levy at $1.40 per thousand was what they discussed. Bob Dewey reported that I think he was in at about 138 was what they were talking, but it would take 142, and I think the council kind of landed in the middle on 140, and it would pretty much hold harmless the jail. So that is, the council will take action on prior to recess, and then they'll either vote to move that forward to a November election. Of course, the advantage of a November election is if it does not pass in November, there's an opportunity again in May prior to July of 2018 when the levy will no longer be available. So.
Mr. Okay. Chair, if you'd like, I attended the meeting last night. There were three items in their work session. One of them was the police levy. The other one that may be of interest to you was the discussion about expanding the emergency housing budget, actually, is what it is. St. Vinny's runs it, and two churches currently support that program. So they received a request from St. Vinny's to increase the budget from the current $5,000 to something more that would help pay for the garbage and the porta potties, as well as some of their staff costs. So the council agreed to increase that to $10,000, and they wanted the they wanted some specific detail on the budget that St. Vincent had mentioned. So that would probably allow two more churches to participate in that program.
Good.
At their regular session, they had three public hearings. One was about garbage rates. Kind of wasn't tracking on that one, but I think they approved it. It's for exclusive franchise agreement. And coincidentally, the business has the waste hauler of the year was awarded for Springfield waste hauler driver.
Wow.
Yeah. And you got that award at their convention.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyway, the second public hearing was a small annexation on Laura Street. You guys don't get the annexations anymore. Haven't for a couple of years. And then the third hearing was on withdrawing the South McVeigh Highway right-of-way from Goshenboro Fire Protection District. That was an oversight from 2003 annexation. Then in a business from the city manager, they had a waiver of STC charges for accessory dwelling units, and that was a resolution. It wasn't a code amendment or anything. It was simply a program to waive the STCs. The ADU standards aren't being changed. They're already in the code. But if somebody wants to build an ADU, the city will charge an SDC through June of 2019 unless they decide to change the program.
Has there been any coordination with other public agencies that collect SDCs in relation to?
They were going to speak with.
I mean, I don't know any of
this. Yes, they were going to speak with both SUB and Willamette on that. But it's not part of their action,
right.
Obviously.
Absolutely.
And then the last thing was the City Council supported the Planning Commission recommendation on the Gray Metro Plan Amendment next to Freddy's.
Good.
And they will have, so they actually had to have their first reading on that new ordinance because the ordinance that was prepared did not have that. So this one did, so it's the change for that HDR knob that's gone to MDR. And then they'll have their second reading, I think, on the 19th.
Good.
So it was pretty, it was an all DPW meeting, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Good. All right, others?
I attended a 8th of May council work session regarding economic assessments. And it was brought to us by a consultant. I was afraid I didn't catch their name. But it was a real good presentation regarding transportation, utilities, permitting, human capital, business resources, mitigated risk, in other words, disaster planning, sustainability, and incentives. So it was an excellent presentation.
Good. Any other reports? Yes.
Would you want to go back as far as April the 24th?
Sure.
It was a work session with two items. And the first item that was on the agenda was a question by the fire department on whether council would want to look at disbanding the fire station on North Fifth Street and purchasing property in the downtown area and building a new fire station for better timeliness for response. And so the question, there was 10 or 12 different parcels that were potential sites that could be purchased, and the question arose as to what the cost would be to build a new fire station. And the response was that there's a lot of variation in the various properties, so the cost would depend on what site was selected. And so the other question was, how much would it cost to refurbish the existing station on North Fifth? And it was estimated to be about $750,000. So the general thinking of the council at that time tentatively was they preferred to go the refurb route rather than looking at constructing a new fire station. That's just a tentative thought. There wasn't any action taken. The second item is that the city has just received funding from the state to address the issue of transportation-related air quality issues. And so they have the funding in place. There evidently will be additional funding in coming years, and there hasn't been for quite a few years. So the question was, staff had presented a shopping list of different possible projects that could utilize that funding. And it was the expression of the mayor that she wanted to have a project that demonstrated to the state how important it was to receive this funding. So a high visibility project was preferred. And so a couple of the possibilities were to address exhaust from the LTD buses, the diesel buses, and a second option was the paving of South 28th Street, where part of it is gravel, not only because of dust issues, but also because that area is now going to be part of the new expanded UGB. So that was a couple of the possibilities, but there was about 15 or 20 different options if possible. But anyway, the city has now received funding to address those issues.
Excellent. Okay, anything else to report? All right. I believe, do you have any business for us?
No, sir.
All right, we stand adjourned.
Good one, thank you, sir.
Yeah. Those were really
good. Yeah, you gotta take advantage.
No, it's on where the.
It's by the computer.
It's on the computer.
Oh, okay. I'll remember.
Yeah, you don't have any way to connect it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just lay it there.
All right, Brenda.
I don't have anything to sign tonight.
No. We'll figure that out tomorrow. I'll call you next Monday.
All right.
No, I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay. Well, you got the eyes and the nose. I didn't have any in the market.
Oh, I have a recording.